Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station where we help those with ADHD pay attention to attention. With your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Topper.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, attention and ADHD coach Jeff Copper. Tonight, we're going to talk about how to protect yourself from verbal abusers. And with us in our virtual studio is Barbara Luther, who is going to share some great insights on this and some real-life examples of some of her things. I'm going to share some stuff. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. But real quickly, tonight is Wednesday, November the 16th in the year 2016 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We are fresh off the heels of the 2016 annual CHAD conference that was in Costa Mesa, California. We are I was thrilled. I know Caroline McGuire, who sometimes guest host, was thrilled about all the individuals who came up and talked to us about the show, gave us some good feedback, some things that we should improve. So we value that. We also had a great time hanging out with our posse and kind of shooting the stuff and getting some great new ideas, not only for Attention Talk Radio and Attention Talk Video. While it's over with, look at your calendars again. It's always the second weekend in November. So start making some plans for that. Real quick, Dr. Barclay continues to ask us to promote ADHD crowdsourcingfund.com, which is a website to raise money for small scale research on ADHD worldwide. Another real important thing is that I almost forgot after the CHAD announcement is tonight's show is actually being brought to you by CHAD. We value our relationship with them over the long term. They've got some great tips, so let's share that insight with you. We'll get into the meat of the show. So here we go.
Are you aware that the Department of Education issued new guidelines regarding 504 plans? What does this mean for your child? Learn more about your child's educational rights on the CHAD website, which is now www.helpforadhd.org. That's www.help4adhd.org.
Welcome back, everybody. One last announcement before we get into it. We have struck a very new deal, and Attention Talk Radio is now in the library of AHA Radio. What this means, if you're a purchaser of a new car, Ford, I think Chrysler, and a whole bunch of others, I think Porsche's on the high end, but I'd say probably 70% of new cars are being installed with apps on them, and you can actually access Attention Talk Radio on the AHA app in your new car. What you have to do is go online and subscribe to Attention Talk Radio in that library, and I think when you do that, they'll explain to you how you synchronize it so you can actually listen to the show while you're driving down the road as a part of the car without having to plug your iPod or your Android in. So go check that out. So again, tonight with us in our virtual studio is Barbara Luther. She's a master certified coach working with clients who have ADHD. She's been doing it for over 20 years. She was a college educator, technical writer, and corporate project manager. In 1996, she founded her coaching practice, Wind Beneath Your Wings, to help high-functioning adults with ADHD reach their goals and enjoy lives built around strengths. Today, Barbara coaches creatives and inattentives who want to understand, appreciate, and work with their ADHD. Now, we did a show with Barbara, I forget when, about a year or so, maybe 15 months ago, on the mind of inattentive, and it was fascinating to hear how she described her experience and some things that are going on. It really resonated with me. We've gotten a really good response for inattentives looking for that. And by the way, I think we're going to have a lot of great insights tonight. Barbara has ADHD herself. She loves learning, engaging in fun variety of projects. She can be found on her website at windbeneathyourwings.com. With that, Barbara, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jeff. Glad to be here.
You know, it's you're one of my favorite guests. You've been on a couple times. We've always find unique topics with you. They're always exceptionally insightful. And I think tonight's going to be one of those. You know, we like to pay attention to attention. And tonight, Barbara, I think is spectacular because we talk about emotional self-regulation. We talk about impulsivity and distractibility. And a lot of times those with ADHD can get caught in a situation where they're going to walk into a verbal abuser or some type of a situation, and we talk about how you really have to detach yourself and you have to downregulate your emotions and stuff. And all that sounds really, really good. But the how part is the missing part. Like, how do you actually do that? And I think that's a real cognitive thing for each individual to figure out how they do that. But I want to talk tonight because you have a great example. And I think I have one that's not as good as yours, but kind of illustrate that we can talk about what it looks like to protect yourself from some verbal abusers. So I want to kind of give you the floor just to kind of share your thoughts on this and then kind of talk about your experience on this.
You're certainly right. It is learning to pay attention and being able to pause, Jeff, so that you can realize what's happening, I think. Probably just sharing my experience is probably the most useful thing. I had a father undiagnosed with ADHD and some narcissism, and he was quite the verbal abuser, always was. He didn't know any other way, and I do think it really became habitual for him. As I grew up and would have to come home and visit, I really dreaded it. It was always like, oh, my gosh, he's going to verbally attack me, and it's just going to ruin the visit. And it was always something I dreaded and tried to minimize as much as I could, because it's not that I didn't love him, but, boy, he was hard to be around. And over time, I began to think, actually just working with clients, kind of helped me to do this because I heard it from my clients so much. And we came up with a metaphor with one client, and I started using it myself, and it really worked well. We talked about it as visualizing ourselves being on a tennis court. And, you know, when I was thinking about Dad, it was like, okay, he's like throwing verbal dirt balls at me. That's what it felt like, except that he always hit me with them. And I would react. I would react, and my energy would get up, and then I was helpless because he had the advantage, and it was awful. So when I began to think about it as being on a tennis court, and I could see the dirt balls coming over the net, I realized, oh my gosh, well, I can have a tennis racket in my hand too. And so I started feeling that energy of, I'm just going to bounce him back over onto his side. I'm just going to toss him back over. Yep, hit him on his side. Not trying to hit him with him like he was trying to hit me, but just trying to get those dirt balls over on the other side. Nope, not for me. Nope, not mine.
Yep.
Nope, not mine.
Yep.
And suddenly, you know, I felt strong. I felt empowered. And it didn't bother me. It didn't matter what he said. I could kind of see it coming and realize, oh, that's really not about me. It's Dad, because he's caught in this habit. He doesn't know anything else to do. And I just needed to put him back away over on his side of the court. Now, you know, when I tried that the first few times, I wasn't great at it. It really did take some time to learn, oh, if I just observe, if I can pause and go, I'm on a tennis court when I'm with Dad, and he's going to put dirt balls over toward me. When I came in noticing that or realizing that, I just had the chance to pause, to observe, to put my attention on that, and realize that, oh, if I didn't throw my energy up and didn't react, he didn't either. So he started throwing fewer dirt balls at me because I didn't react to them. And it was, that was quite a revelation too, because he was literally trapped. And it took me a while to realize that he had learned to do that because his, you know, brain needed entertained, so he'd create drama. I don't know why, but he had learned to do it, and he couldn't unlearn it. So that helped me to have a little more compassion about it, and for me to realize, okay, we're both trapped in this, and I'm going to have to take some responsibility and realize he's not going to change. He's older and is struggling with it. So I had to do that. But it really was being able to go in aware, okay, there's going to be dirt balls. I'm on the tennis court. And then be able to pause and go, he's really tossing those, but they're not meant to be for me. And that just made all the difference. And so I could go and look forward to a visit with Dad and come away with my energy still intact. And that was very powerful.
So everybody, just slow down here for a second and think about what she just said, because it's really, really powerful. And I want to emphasize that where she got to on this, it's not necessarily easy to get there, and it's a process. And I like to reframe stuff as being as an athlete and an attention coach. I'm doing much more gravitating towards attention and attention exercises as a skill building process. And I'm just going to use that as a little bit of metaphor on your metaphor, Barbara, because you're sitting there, you're visualizing this tennis court thing. And when you pause and do that, it's a way to shift what you're paying attention to away from the personal attack and kind of put it a little bit over there. And you said, you know, it took you a while to develop it because you'd have to kind of get into that mindset. And by detaching yourself and paying attention to it as a tennis thing, it's like you remove the personal side and then you just would lob the balls back. And that enabled you to, and again, there's a gazillion different words you could hear, shield yourself, protect yourself, save your energy. But at the end of the day, where you got to on this was not getting emotionally wrapped up and ruminating all over that. You have anything to add to that? Does that make sense to you?
Oh, yeah. That's exactly true, Jeff, because I kind of think of it now as I could become an observer. I could watch the
yep.
two of
yep.
us. And so it wasn't the emotional piece. And I knew the emotions that were there weren't about me, weren't for me. So, yeah, I could manage my emotions much more. They didn't have to get triggered. So all of that happened because of being able
yep.
to pause and be in
yep.
the metaphor. Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. And here's one of the things that I wanted to just kind of highlight is there's a process to this. One is you have that situation, and two, how do you pause, and how do you detach yourself from it and pay attention to it differently? And I know, Barbara, I worked with different people, and the language all changes the outcome, but I think the ultimate goal is, again, to detach yourself from it and not get caught into it. So I know I worked with people that, you know, they're able to do this when they see themselves as an observer, or they imagine themselves watching a motion picture of themselves. So they're really not themselves. They're kind of watching themselves. Or some will describe, it's almost like my soul floated up and was looking down at my body kind of on the table. Or another thing that I do sometimes with our people is where you narrate yourself. And it's not, you have the thoughts that you're thinking, and narrating yourself as you detach and say, there Jeff is, he's talking attention again with Barbara on the radio, and you're speaking in there he is and that type of a stuff as a means to detach yourself, shift your attention so that you can kind of manage in this. And I think that that's the hard part, is the actual, for those with ADHD and anybody else, is really to be able to get to that point. And it's individual as the person is. But one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on and talk about this is you were able to do it, and now you have a beautiful metaphor that you described in order for you to execute that. And I got to believe that this has helped you not only in that relationship, but many others.
It does. The tennis metaphor, and I'm not a great tennis player, but it gives me an energetic feel too. I have the physical feeling of hitting it back over the court. And I think
yep.
somehow that energetically keeps things moving. And you're right. We can use all kinds of metaphors for this. One, sometimes my clients want to be in a cloak or body armor. They want to use that kind
yep.
of a metaphor and see the dirt balls hit that and melt away. One thing that I've had a few clients do that's also kind of helped them to do this is when they realize this other person isn't, they have background in history, and so that's why they're trapped many times. There is some forgiveness pieces that come into this and awareness. But I've had some of them to say, count how many dirt balls they're going to throw at you. Count them as you go. And that represents, you know, how trapped they are.
Yep.
You know, and so you can kind of laugh and go, wow, he threw 16 dirt balls in 2 hours.
Yep.
You know, and
yep.
again, it creates that little bit of distance, but it gave the brain something to be interested in and watch that also helped, I think.
And detach yourself from the situation. So I think what you described, it was spectacular. I want to come back, and you spoke a little bit about forgiveness there for a second. I want to come back and kind of use that as a launch pad, because I want to share one of my experiences. Not quite as powerful as yours, but I think it will just bring some variety to help people think through that stuff. Before we go to break real quick, Barbara, your website is windbeneathyourwings.com, correct?
Yes, that's it.
And I encourage you to go check that stuff out. Barbara has been, she's like kind of queen of ADHD because she's been around for like 27 years. She's been doing this kind of longer than people have been doing it. When did you start coaching originally?
Oh, really? 96. It's not that long.
hey, 20 years is 20 years. So, excuse me. With that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function challenge make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more or call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE to get your free college success guide.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Managing ADHD is about pausing before you ponder and proceed. This opportunity to practice pausing is being brought to you by digcoaching.com. The Attention Talk Network has over 450 interviews and more than 210 hours of programming, which is overwhelming if you think about it. That's why I've made my list top 10 favorite Attention Talk radio interviews. Download the list at www.digcoaching.com/ATR.
And now back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm here with Barbara Luther, and we're having a great conversation on how to protect yourself from verbal abusers. And we're using the word verbal abusers, but it's really just emotional type situations that if you're not careful, you can get wrapped up in them, have a hard time regulating your emotions, maybe ruminated about it for kind of a couple of days. And it's a way really to want to talk about that. Often people talk about downgrading or self-regulating your emotions. And what we're hoping today to do is we're illustrating an outcome that Barbara's had. And I'm going to talk about an outcome that I've had just to give you an idea what that looks like. And the one thing that I want to emphasize is how you get from the theory to what Barbara and I are saying is as individual as the person. She used a tennis metaphor. I'm going to explain something different, but that's the trick. And that's the thing for you to explore, because what we're talking about, really, you kind of have to explore yourself. And Barbara, I know, has worked with a lot of people and done different things to get there. And before the break, I was talking about, you know, that concept of being the narrator or watch a motion picture yourself in order to kind of to get yourself away. It all depends on what you're looking at. So, you know, Barbara, I think that one of the powers of coaching is actually kind of helping people kind of work through and talk about and kind of find the how part. How do they get to that and actually execute it? Thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think many times, you know, in coaching, we help people try things on. We can try on watching a movie. We can try on doing a tennis match with this verbal person that's saying negative things. And that practice really, really allows them to then go and do it in actuality so much more confidently and quicker. Yep.
Which is so much about the coaching paradigm. It's really kind of about executing, kind of getting into action. So, my story is this. My father has been in poor health since 1986. We had an old saying, it sounds kind of crazy, but what could go wrong would go wrong, but it wouldn't kill him, because he had like 18 of those angioplasties, a stent put in, triple bypass, double bypass. He had a pacemaker. He had a slip disc in his neck. He had the list kind of goes on. And a couple years ago, it was clear that my mom couldn't take care of him, and we needed to take him to a facility. And I live in Florida. My brother in Pennsylvania. We're going to converge on Virginia to help my mother in this situation. And as I began to realize and think about this, I realized it was going to be a hugely emotional situation. My father's – he loves my brother and I to death, But he tends to be a little bit more pessimistic, and I began to think that this could be a challenge. And as I began to think about it, I began to kind of study the situation and say, you know, nobody really likes to go into a assisted living facility, because at that point in time, we want to cling on to hope, because hope kind of keeps you going. And if you lose hope, it's a challenge. And I began to think about how I was going to go up there, and my father likely was going to be very upset that of what we were doing. And I began to think of it as that he is really pretty frustrated with life, and he was going to curse life, and he was going to scream at life, and he was going to degrade life, and he was just lashing out. It wasn't me personally. It really would be anybody in that particular situation. And I began to think of it in that terms in my mind. So I fly up, convene with my brother. We send my mother off to church. She plays organs at a bunch of things so that we could kind of do this. And sure enough, when it came time to talk to my father about it, I don't think I've ever heard words that he had said before that were directed at my brother and myself. And looking over my brother, he was really struggling with it emotionally. And I was just sitting there trying to stay focused, is that he's upset at life. He's screaming at life. Anybody would do this. Matter of fact, I'll probably do the same thing. I might steal some of his words and expand upon them. But it was really not directed at me individually and personally. And as we did this, my brother struggled a couple times, and we were able after an hour and a half to actually get him into the facility, of which he was not very happy and kind of stomped around and created a little bit of problem. And when we left, as difficult as it was, I don't think I could have gotten through it had I not backed up for a moment and really kind of thought about what was going on and put it in that perspective. Oddly enough, he went in and the facility was able to manage his medication, and he got better and actually was released about 5 months later. And we were there to bring him home. And my father didn't have any ill will. He didn't have a problem, because I knew my father loved me. But in that moment, had I not done that, Barbara, it could have been a really horrific experience for me, having my father that I love degrade me in that situation. And I could have taken it very, very personally, when in the end of the day, it was really not so much about me as life. And to divorce myself from that and put it in perspective, again, I'm grateful that I did that, because I lived through it. And now I'm telling the story as a positive type thing, as a way for me to detach. So I'm going to give you the opportunity to kind of share your comments on that story.
I think that's really key. You were able to pause ahead of time and anticipate. And for many ADDers, we get broadsided by usually loved ones that say these things, kind of like your brother did.
Yep.
And so that's why we need something in the moment. That's why as a coach, I'm often replaying or pre-playing with clients, because we know who those folks are in our lives, and it's not a one-off situation like it was with you and your dad.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why the preparation is so powerful. You really do need to do that. And I think that's where the forgiveness comes in, Jeff.
Yep.
You could understand this wasn't about you and the situation he was in. A lot of times the people that are doing this verbal, dirt balls at us, something has happened in their lives, and it's often
yep.
a learned thing. And you may not understand where that's coming from. You may never get to learn. But most of the time, I would say, most of the time, even though the words sound like they're at you, they're really
yes.
not. And so kind of learning that is part of it, being aware that you can have some compassion for that person, because many times they're stuck in a pattern. They've learned to do that and don't know anything else. That really helps us be able to come to these ways of protecting ourselves.
Yep, absolutely. I want to come back to the break, and I kind of want to continue that kind of conversation and kind of help brainstorm, Barbara, so that people can wrestle with this information and try to figure out how to make it their own. For those that are listening, I encourage you to go check out Barbara's website at windbeneathyourwings.com. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a time timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You can't go off to college with them, but we can. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more how an EDGE coach can help your student reach their full potential. You can also call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE and get a free college success guide.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
The Attention Talk Network has over 450 interviews and more than 210 hours of programming, which is overwhelming if you think about it. That's why I've made my list top 10 favorite Attention Talk radio interviews. Download the list at www.digcoaching.com/ATR.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're having a great conversation with Barbara Luther about protecting yourself kind of emotionally from verbal abusers or just verbal outlashes. And, you know, Barbara, the reason I love this show so much is, you know, we're so much about paying attention to attention and actually be able to step out and witness your attention and kind of like shining your attention on something else as a means to distract yourself or to crowd mm-hmm. out some other thoughts. And I think that what you described in your situation about the tennis match was more of an ongoing type thing. Mine was a little bit more episodic, but those are outcomes that I really kind of want to illuminate. And I want to just kind of like pause here and take the pressure off everybody. The hard part is actually how you execute that stuff. And we hope we've given you an idea of what this kind of looks like. But it is a little bit of playing with some stuff. It's a little bit of as you said, you know, forgiveness, maybe forgiving them other people for their ignorance. Some that might work for some people. But the one thing that I do know is that for you, and maybe I'm putting your words in your mouth, is it took a little while, but this literally is kind of an attention exercise. And you tried it first and you used it a couple times and then you developed that skill, just kind of like a free throw shooter on a basketball court to kind of practice that stuff. And then as you began to practice that attention exercise, if you will, you developed it. And then it's fun to hear you tell that story because I'm sure it wasn't fun, but there's some lightness in your voice because you were really able to kind of control that. So I guess really kind of what I'm saying is just kind of bring this out and everybody to do this. The hard part is actually figuring out what works for you. Would you agree?
Very much. It's first kind of realizing, oh, this is an issue, and being forgiving perhaps of the other person, but being kind to yourself too. We get so hard on ourselves and end up ruminating about this, and we feel so stuck. And so I think, Jeff, first it's realize, oh, I can do something about this. We have our own power, and we can use it. And then it's being creative and playful to some extent of what would work as a way to think about it. So find something that works for you as a way to think about it. And then it is practice and not expecting yourself to do it perfectly every time. Just try it and observe the results. Come back and adjust. Try something a little different if you need to. I've had clients come back so excited from holiday visits with family that had always been so horrible. And they come back and it's like, I felt good. I didn't have to ruminate for 2 days. I didn't have to feel so bad. And they're so excited about it. And I do have to remind them, you're still going to have to practice. It's still going to happen other times. But now you know how to do it. And so it's a matter of giving yourself that practice and continuing to be kind.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And, you know, Barbara, as you do that, you begin to think about that. But, you know, for those with ADD, sometimes I find is that when they're walking into the situation, because sometimes you can break it, sometimes they need that prompt or that trigger as a reminder, I'm going to go into this, to be looking for it and expecting it as a way to be able to pause when that happens. If you've been thinking about some of this and you just kind of go in with blinders on, sometimes you get caught in the middle of it. But as you begin to project and think these things are coming and maybe give yourself a reminder, you can kind of, it's almost like holding your breath and you walk in the door, and then you can kind of apply that structure a couple times. And I find is if you can get through the first two, three, and you get the hang of it and you feel that good outcome or the not so negative outcome, that makes it easier for you to pause and remember it the next time. What are your thoughts on that?
I would really agree, because as an inattentive, I don't learn quickly from past experience. And I think you do have to practice it a little bit and have some way to remember, I'm walking into a lion's den again. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Once you begin to remember that. So some people may need a prompt or may need to look at something on the outside of the door and go, oh, yeah, that's my reminder. I go in with my full body cloak on or whatever it is. I do think we have to find ways to prompt ourselves, because otherwise we are broadsided. And you can still move into it when you realize it, but that's a little harder than going in prepared.
I interviewed Dr. Barkley years ago on emotional self-regulation. You know, the best thing to do is not put yourself in that position, but when you're in it, the harder part is to down-regulate once you're in it. And again, if you can have a prompt or something like that, anticipate it's the best. But still, if you do this and you practice it and you can get to that point in time where you notice yourself in the moment, then you can implement some of these strategies as an attention exercise to kind of divert some of that stuff. So before we wrap this up, any final thoughts or any comments that you think we should share?
Well, I just appreciate getting the chance to talk about it, because I think a lot of people do deal with this and they have a lot of angst about it and unfortunately a lot of feelings of helplessness about it. And you can take back your power. You can learn to be with that person, whether it's a loved one or someone else. You can learn to do that and feel empowered. And I just encourage everybody to do that little bit of work to take care of yourself, because that has a ramification for, beyond. It has ripples beyond just you.
Absolutely, absolutely. So with that, Barbara, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show to kind of cover this topic. I think the experiences hopefully will help those I see what the target is and kind of make their way. So thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you. And I hope you do get some great comments of people trying this and letting us know how it goes.
Yeah, if you guys could drop us a line at attention@attentiontalkradio.com. Go check out Barbara's website at windbeneathyourwings.com. We hope you've enjoyed it. Catch us next week for another great edition of Attention Talk Radio. Take care.